Well, 3 years after the biggest financial collapse since the Great Depression, the country is still reeling and struggling to recover. And as employment struggles to come back, it's clear banks may be doing great, but many Americans still aren't. And it seems that still no one has been held accountable. Certainly no one yet has yet been prosecuted. A new two-part, four-hour Frontline documentary called Money, Power, and Wall Street investigates the leadership decisions, the missed opportunities, and the strategic partnerships between the federal government and Wall Street that helped lead to the crisis in America and prolonged the period of recovery. Joining us is Michael Kirk, one of the producers for that new Frontline documentary. Frontline is produced by WGBH, our partner station. And the first part of Money, Power, and Wall Street airs tomorrow night on PBS. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Hey, welcome, Ty. Good morning.
Let me play a clip from Terry Duhon. She's one of the characters in your documentary. She's one of the creators of credit default swaps. Listen to Terry.
I mean, look, very simply, there are certainly some investors, some banks, some borrowers who are a bit greedier than they should be.
Now, that's Terry Duhon, a derivatives trader with J.P. Morgan, maybe stating the obvious. People were a bit greedier than maybe they should have been. She's soft-pedaling it. But you know what's fascinating about her in your documentary? She created this financial instrument with the best of intentions. It sort of reminds me of Oppenheimer and the harnessing of the atom, done with the best of intentions, and it later became deadly.
Well, that's the really shocking thing about this story. It is the good intentions of people who were just going to their offices, just working, just inventing, that created the uncontrollable. After a while, when greed and other elements entered into it, it just mushroomed beyond anybody's ability to control it. It's a little bit like, you know, scientists who create things in labs, and then the contagion grows. They don't know it at the time, and suddenly it spreads. That's very much analogous to what happened.
Now, you explain how CDOs, collateralized debt obligations, became the chips in a new kind of financial casino. I want to play you a clip here from Dennis Kelleher, one of the other characters, one of sort of the people who helps you narrate this documentary.
So how is that different than betting on the outcome of the Super Bowl? Or a horse race? Or a craps table? There's no difference at all. It's just a pure bet by somebody who has no economic interest in what they're betting on. You're going to bet on the outcome of the Super Bowl, you're going to bet on the outcome of a horse race, or you're at the craps table, or you're betting on which way the dice are going to go.
We're pretty confident that the housing market's not.
And that's the key point there, Michael, is that people started betting on these CDOs and on credit default swaps when they had no stake in the outcome. It was really just like a bet on a dog race.
Well, you know, yes, there was, of course, a stake in the outcome, but it wasn't, it was a different kind of stake, and it was, as you suggest, as the film made by Marty Smith suggests, it's very much a casino environment. And when that happens, a group think can infect the situation, and it just gets larger and larger, and especially when such vast sums of money are involved.
Now, Michael, there's the question of the regulators, of course, in Washington and at the New York Fed. Of course, Timothy Geithner, among the most important, who was president of the New York Fed at the time a lot of this was going down, later on became Treasury Secretary. Listen to this statement from the documentary from Phil Angelides. He became the head of the Financial Crisis Protection Bureau.
That's one of the most striking parts of the story, is that, first of all, how little the people who were in charge of our system knew and or did in the wake of this oncoming crisis. And secondly, once the evidence was clear that the system itself was shaky and unsound, how there wasn't definitive and strong action to try to curb what was becoming a disaster for the country.
Now, Michael Kirk, the documentary makes a strong case that Tim Geithner at the New York Fed and other regulators at first didn't understand the complicated web of risk and were ineffective in reacting, but also says that they willfully ignored some of the signs of danger. And this is where I had a little bit of trouble. There didn't seem to be much follow-up on that particular statement, that they knew the risks and willfully ignored it. There was a lot of ignorance because they didn't understand the complex nature of what was being done on Wall Street. There wasn't disclosure, so that the normal ways that Washington and the Fed polices the markets wasn't in place because these were private markets, but willfully ignored signs of danger that they knew were there. Did that really happen?
Well, the Angelides Commission, certainly investigated and talked to everyone involved in the situation. We've talked to, you know, many, many, many people over the last few years as we went through it. The question that haunts me is not is if they didn't ignore it, how did it happen? If you're the president of the New York Fed and you're regulators and you're all over Wall Street all the time, and your job and your responsibility is to keep track of all of that, how could it have happened and no one really knew? It was in lots of ways an imperative that they move forward once it had started to happen, and they didn't do that either. And the question the documentary raises, and I think provocatively, is why?
One of the most fascinating parts about this documentary that I will urge people, a point that I'll urge people to watch it on as a political reporter, is that President Obama had a man on the inside of many of these meetings when he was Senator Obama, when he was candidate Obama. Before he was president, he had sort of a mole, a reporter of his own on the inside of some of the most sensitive negotiations between Washington and the banks. And if you want to, I won't reveal too much more, but if you want to get a good sense of something fascinating politically, watch it for that reason. Michael, there's a second part. There's a part two of this front line documentary. What can we expect to learn in part two?
Well, you'll learn what during President Obama's administration he and his staff, including Tim Geithner, his rather surprised choice for a Treasury Secretary, at least surprised to some, what they did, what they tried to do in order to head off the crisis in the midst of really continuing cascading of trouble, and what they did in terms of his promise to reform Wall Street so that it didn't happen again.
Michael Kirk is one of the producers of the new Frontline documentary, Money, Power, and Wall Street. Part one airs tomorrow night on PBS. Michael, thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.